This is VOA News, reporting by remote. I'm Joe Ramsey. The Taliban are on the brink of total victory in Afghanistan on Sunday, with their fighters ordered to wait on the outskirts of the capital and the government conceding it is preparing for a, quote, transfer of power. The Taliban's militants surrounded Kabul following an astonishingly quick rout of government forces, who proved incapable of holding onto territory without U.S. military support. The fall of Kabul will see the hardline Islamic group take power 2 decades after U.S.-led forces toppled it in the wake of the September 11, 2001 attacks. President Ashraf Ghani, who most expect to resign in days, if not hours, conceded as much, and in a video message urged what remains of his security forces to maintain law and order. There are fears of a security vacuum in the capital, as thousands of police and other armed service members have abandoned their posts, uniforms, and even weapons. The Afghan government signaled earlier there were negotiations underway to avoid bloodshed in Kabul and to hand power to the Taliban. Rescue workers are scrambling to find survivors after a powerful 7.2 magnitude earthquake struck Haiti, killing at least 304 and toppling buildings in the disaster-plagued Caribbean nation still recovering from a devastating 2010 quake. The epicenter of the tremor rattled homes and sent terrified locals fleeing for safety Saturday morning, about 100 miles or 160 kilometers by road west of the center of the densely populated capital, Port-au-Prince. Haiti's Civil Protection Agency says churches, businesses, schools, and homes crumbled in the quake and trapped hundreds of victims under rubble and left at least 1,800 people injured. The U.S. and other nations swiftly pledged support, with President Joe Biden approving immediate aid efforts. This is VOA News. Lebanese authorities and medics said Sunday a fuel tank blast in Lebanon killed 28 people and injured nearly 80 others, scalding a crowd that was clamoring for gasoline in the crisis-hit country. The nighttime tragedy in the country's remote north overwhelmed medical facilities and added new misery to a nation already beset by an economic crisis and severe fuel shortages that have crippled hospitals and caused long power cuts. It revived bitter memories of an enormous explosion at a Beirut port in August last year that killed more than 200 people and destroyed swaths of the capital. The military said a fuel tank that, quote, had been confiscated by the army to distribute to citizens exploded just before 2 a.m. local time on Sunday. Soldiers were among those hurt. The army began raiding gas stations Saturday to curb hoarding by suppliers following a central bank decision to scrap fuel subsidies. Thai police clashed with protesters near the residence of the prime minister on Sunday for a fifth time in the past week, with officers using water cannons and tear gas against demonstrators who were hurling projectiles toward them. A separate, quote, car mob, a convoy of thousands of cars and motorcycles, had earlier passed through Bangkok peacefully, urging the prime minister to resign amid anger over his government's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. But once again, the anti-government protest of recent weeks resulted in violent clashes. Police say more than 130 people have been arrested in the latest round of anti-government protests since mid-July. A Malaysian minister says the country's embattled leader will offer his resignation to the king Monday, potentially ending his 17-month-old government and plunging the country into fresh turmoil. Malaysia's prime minister has faced mounting pressure to step aside after losing his parliamentary majority and over his administration's handling of a worsening coronavirus outbreak. There has been speculation that should he step down, a new government would be formed without elections due to concerns that polls could worsen the virus outbreak. But with no clear successor as prime minister, there will likely be days of political turmoil in Malaysia ahead as MPs seek to form a workable coalition. Nigerian authorities on Sunday imposed a curfew in parts of a central state a day after suspected Christian militia attacked a convoy of 90 Muslims, killing at least 23. Police claim Saturday's deadly attack also injured nearly 2 dozen people, and 20 suspects have been arrested with 33 victims rescued. Northwest and central Nigeria has for years struggled with violence between mainly Muslim nomadic herders and Christian farmers over control of resources, water, and land. Reporting by remote, I'm Joe Ramsey, VOA News.